everyone. Welcome to today's podcast recording and Happy New Year to everyone. I'm Debbie Franzese, a partner in Seward & Kissel's Investment Management Group and head of the firm's ESG Task Force. I'm joined today by Lucian Firth from our alliance partner, Simmons & Simmons, for a conversation about the EU's sustainable finance disclosure regulation, and in particular, how this is relevant for US investment managers. Lucian, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Debbie.
So I'll start with just a very basic fundamental question. Can you just give everyone a brief overview of what the SFDR is and when it's going into effect?
Sure. Thanks, Debbie. And hello, everyone. So the SFDR, as Debbie said, the European Sustainable Finance Disclosures Regulation. It's a European regulation and it applies from the 10th of March this year, 2021. So it applies very soon from now. And the SFDR is part of the European Union's package of measures relating to environmental, social and governance ESG issues. And as its name suggests, it requires increased disclosures from asset managers and other buy-side firms on matters related to sustainability. And when I say sustainability, you can interchange that with ESG. We use the two terms in the same way.
Okay, that's great. Thanks so much for that explanation. So Lucian, we'll just go over some, just what I think are maybe some common scenarios for some US managers, just to clarify what some of their obligations are in these different situations and whether or not they might be in scope. Obviously, in an increasing global world where regulations are often impacting US managers, even though they're not from the US, we think it's important for them to understand their obligations. So the first scenario that I'll just mention is if you have a non-EU based manager who has actually marketed some of their funds in connection with AIFMD in the EU. And maybe we can talk here too about the differences and where the UK comes in connection with Brexit. And then also if Switzerland is any different.
Sure, thanks, Debbie. So this regulation, as a basic point, doesn't apply outside of Europe, but it does apply to non-European managers if they do something that brings them in scope. And as you said, Debbie, registering or notifying one of your funds for marketing in Europe under AIFMD, that will bring you in scope and that'll bring that fund into scope of the Sustainable Finance Disclosures Regulation. So where you've done that, where you've notified a fund for marketing in Europe, that fund is in scope of the disclosure obligations in respect of that fund. And so we can come on to what this means in a minute, but what you will need to do is you will need to make disclosures in the PPM or alongside in a wrapper for European investors. Now there's a few common questions that always come when you're talking about this. First of all, what is the EU for these purposes? Well, the EU is the European 27 group of member states. And as of just over a year ago, that doesn't include the UK, and the transition period's now just finished. And so the UK is completely out of Europe. And therefore, the fact that you have registered or notified a fund for marketing in the UK doesn't bring you in scope. What brings you in scope is where you've registered the fund in another European jurisdiction, such as the Netherlands or Germany, Luxembourg, Belgium, other European member states. And you also mentioned a really good common question jurisdiction, Debbie, Switzerland. Switzerland, bang in the middle of Europe, but it's not part of the EU. So this has nothing to do with your Swiss marketing. That's irrelevant for these purposes. The key thing that brings you in scope is having registered a fund for marketing in a European jurisdiction, but ignoring the UK and ignoring Switzerland. So that's fact pattern number one.
Okay, that's great. I know we have a lot of investment management clients that may have engaged in some type of registration or notification filings for a few different countries. So I think that'll give them some insight on that. I guess the next scenario I wanted to just go through with, what if you are a non-EU based manager, so your principal place of business is somewhere in the US, but you might have, kind of a research office or something within the EU. Would that somehow, bring you within scope?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Debbie. So essentially where you have often a US parent investment manager and then some sort of subsidiary in Europe. It depends a bit on what that subsidiary is doing, but often you find that subsidiary is a regulated firm in Europe. It's often a MiFID regulated investment firm, and it is providing investment advice or discretionary investment management services to its US parent. And so if it is doing those things, then yes, the relationship between the regulated UK entity and its US parent is actually subject to the SFDR. It is subject to these disclosure obligations. And so some repapering is necessary there. But I mean, that said, the most common fact patterns that we come across with US clients tend to be actually having the European entity being established in the UK. And as I mentioned earlier, the UK is out of scope of the SFDR. And so actually, if you've just got a UK affiliate in your group, then you don't need to worry about SFDR applying to that entity.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, so I think it's, you know, it'll be important for managers to go ahead and just evaluate the different relationships between their entities to the extent that they have a more global business. But if they just have those UK affiliates, then they should be okay. I guess that, and, you know, kind of one of the last things I want to talk about in some of the common scenarios is just, again, if you don't have, you know, maybe any presence in the EU, you know, or the UK, but you are actually managing an account for an EU-based client. So we'll kind of exclude UK clients for this purpose. But, you know, say you're managing money for whether it's, you know, a pension fund or some other kind of European investor, and it's actually a managed account. Do the disclosure obligations apply to that as well, or is this more specific for just funds?
Okay, Debbie, yeah, that's a good question. This is quite a complicated fact pattern, but actually the high level answer to this is that if you're a US manager just managing an account for a European investor, that does not bring you into scope of the SFDR from a regulatory matter. That doesn't get you in scope. So that's fine. The slight ripples around this, there's a couple of slight ripples. One, it would be worth just double checking the particular European jurisdiction where your investor is based for this managed account, just in case there's any gold plating in that jurisdiction that says that, look, even though at a European level this doesn't apply, we've decided in whatever jurisdiction that we want it to apply. I don't know if that being the case anywhere actually, but you would want to double check that. The second point to be aware of is that, although I mentioned as a general principle from a regulatory perspective, you are not subject to these rules in this fact pattern of US manager, European client with managed account. That doesn't get you into the rules from a regulatory matter, but your European client may try to push SFDR type obligations down to you through the IMA, through the mandate. So they may come to you and they may come to you with some, you know, things they want to be thought about or disclosed on in terms of sustainability risks, for example. But all of that, I think you can almost afford as a US manager to be reactive to demands for your clients there, rather than having a regulatory obligation to go and repaper the agreement that falls on you.
That's great. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think we did see that, you know, even just in connection with AFMD, that there were some instances where some of the European clients did impose some of those obligations in the investment management agreements. So I think, you know, it will be important, I think, for US managers that might have these types of relationships, as Lucian said, to really just check with the relevant jurisdiction, make sure that they don't actually, you know, have any obligations themselves, and then also just be in dialogue, you know, with their clients as well, just to see, you know, if there's anything that they're looking for here. And so I guess just kind of the two real final questions are, so if you are, you know, within scope, what really does that mean as far as, you know, updating the disclosure in your documents? And are there different obligations if you have, you know, a fund that is focused on ESG or sustainability, however you're defining that? And then if you actually have a strategy where, you know, that's not integrated into it, are there different obligations in those situations?
Sure. Okay. So the way the rules work, there are disclosure obligations on all types of funds, regardless of whether the fund has an ESG strategy. And then if you do have an ESG strategy, then the obligations, they jump up to a much higher level. Now, for the most part, when we're talking to private fund managers, they don't have ESG strategies that get them in scope of the higher levels of this rule, because although they might think about ESG factors from time to time, they don't have dedicated ESG funds where the investment objective is ESG linked. They tend to be much below that. So for the most part, you only tend to be in scope as a private funds manager for the lower baseline level of obligations. But the point to be completely clear on is that even if you don't think ESG is for you at all, if your fund is registered for marketing in Europe, then you still need to make these disclosures. And in terms of what those disclosures are, they are disclosures, I suppose. That's the first point. They're disclosures rather than an obligation to do things in any particular way. So they don't force you to do ESG, for example. You just have to disclose about how you do it. But in terms of what the disclosure obligations are, you need to disclose to your investors that the real main thing is how you integrate ESG risks into your investment decision making. And for this purpose, ESG risks is all about the concept that if an ESG risk arises, it could cause a loss in value to the assets in the fund's portfolio. So it's thinking about ESG in that respect. You need to disclose on that how you integrate ESG risks into investment decision making. And then there's a secondary obligation that's linked to that. And that is that you need to disclose essentially how you think the portfolio could be adversely affected by ESG risks. So there's a piece of disclosure around ESG from a risk perspective. And you need to do that for all sorts of funds, regardless of whether they are ESG funds. And then beyond that, there's a bit more disclosure which will apply to US managers marketing funds in Europe. And I suppose one of the elements there is about your approach to considering the adverse impacts of your investments on sustainability factors. What do I mean by that? It's about essentially the adverse consequences of your investments. So if you're investing in a company that has factories in certain jurisdictions where labor practices are poor, then you're fueling poor labor practices. Or if you're buying certain assets where there's a lot of pollution created, then you're fueling pollution. And there's a secondary obligation to disclose how you think about the adverse impacts. And it's perfectly fine to disclose that you don't think about them, at least not in the way that regulation thinks about them. So you can say that, you know, we don't do this. We're a US manager and we don't do that for this mandate. That is fine. And you can soften that by saying that, okay, you know, we do think about these things sometimes where we want to or something like that. But generally speaking, it's fine to say that we don't think about the adverse impact of investment decisions on sustainability factors. So that's okay. So really, just to summarize, the main thing is that you need to disclose how you think about ESG risks and the consequences of ESG risks on returns for the fund. And you have to do that. You have to put that in your fund disclosures. So that could be in the PPM or it could be in a separate wrapper. A lot of managers, a lot of US managers that notify funds in Europe for marketing have a separate wrapper. So you need to put the information in one of those two places, and you need to do it by the 10th of March, 2021. So about 2 months time from now.
Okay, so I'm sure that'll be something that people are really thinking about in the next, you know, few upcoming weeks. So if you do have any questions about this, you know, please feel free to reach out to either myself or Lucian. You know, we're happy to help you with any questions that you might have about the disclosure or whether or not you might be in scope. You know, we can certainly give you some advice about that. But Lucian, thank you very much for this. I think it was, you know, overview for US managers. And I think we went through a lot of scenarios that'll be really helpful for people when evaluating, you know, whether or not this applies to them. So thank you again.
Thank you, Debbie. My pleasure. And actually, I might just mention one thing at the end, and that is that although this might sound like quite
sure.
although this might sound like quite a daunting prospect, we have templates for these disclosures and we're very happy to provide them to people. So if that's what you need, please get in touch and we can help that way.
Yes, that's great. I'm sure that's a lot of competing priorities, particularly this time of year for managers. So that's great. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Debbie.